What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am super positive Chuck Locklear.
So positive. anyways, we just got out of the Celtics game. Very exciting finish to what was what started out as a less than electric game.
It literally went from one of it went from maybe the most boring game of the year to what turned out to be the best game of the season so far.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking a lot about that one today.
Mostly that one. Hope that's okay.
it might end up bleeding over into two segments. Kind of a lot to unpack there. And then we also are going to do some
Thirsty Thursday.
Talk a little bit about who and what we're thirsty for. Mm-hmm. With a brand new lineup hitting the floor for the first time tonight, there's a lot to be thirsty for.
There's a lot to talk about.
Anything else we have?
We have a couple shavings we might get to, but they're not that important, so we'll see what happens.
It could be a thick game for you, so we apologize.
Okay, so, I mean, we saw tonight was a lot of things for the Clippers. It was the first overtime win of the year, mm-hmm. first overtime win at home. Record's now, what, 9-1 at home?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. First time we got to see Kawhi and Paul George. We're definitely, obviously, going to talk a little bit about that, but I think for the most part, it looked as expected.
I was not expecting the Pat Beverly show.
Oh, no. I just meant Kawhi and Paul George. We're going to talk about Pat Beverly, who had the best game.
I thought you meant the game as a whole, and I was
No. Huh, just that pairing really initially, because that was kind of the big thing coming into this
for
game.
Sure.
We'll see those guys. Patrick Beverly was the player of this game. It was the best game Patrick Beverly's ever played in his life, maybe. It was wonderful to see. But, them together, the defense, I mean, obviously not 100% there yet, but we saw glimpses of some things that were pretty nice.
The ROI early on was very good.
Yeah, the offense was kind of tough for a lot of people in this game on both teams. So that's obviously, we're not too worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to talk about Patrick Beverly first.
Yeah. I mean, he got the game ball.
Is this, so his line, 14 points, great. Anytime Pat's putting up more than 10, it's awesome. 16 rebounds. A career high for most people.
7 assists, which we were getting hit up. There was a lot of chatter, it seemed like, on Twitter about the lack of playmaking guards.
There still is chatter about that even after we won this game.
Look at Pat Bev's stat line. Anyways.
Yeah.
And what else did he have to round out this very meaty stat line?
3 steals and 2 blocks to help the Clippers to the 107-104 victory.
Unreal.
He played great defense on Kemba. The team defense in general on Kemba was very good. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we liked. Zubats trapped well. Doc complimented him on that. He only had 13 points and then a 6-2 turnover to assist ratio. It's not good.
Not good.
But, I mean, Pat Bev, he hit huge shots down the stretch after not being as lethal as he usually is. They were leaving him open and daring him to shoot.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he said, hey, no sweat, Brett.
The easier he can get into a rhythm, I think that's... It's great.
His game does not get better than it was tonight. It was so good.
Yeah.
It was, and I don't even mean that in a, this was just.
I was going to say, because it's not slighty.
No, this was the best Patrick Beverly basketball ever.
Absolutely.
It was everything that his game is about. I mean, this was against a contender.
Definitely.
Maybe not a lot of people's finals choice, but someone who's knocking on the door of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were down Gordon Hayward, but I mean, Patrick Beverly kept us in this game. Another thing we liked is the resolve.
Yeah. Yeah. So they talked a little bit about that. You know, there were hiccups, but I believe Paul George had the quote that it was never dysfunctional.
Yeah. And that, I mean, look, the first half, this game could have been so much worse than it was.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this and what we didn't like, but the Celtics went 1 of 18 in the first from 3. So this could have been a little rough.
Yeah. And then there was a stretch to end the first half that was
awful.
Kind of emblematic of that first 3 quarters of basketball where I believe the Clippers had 6 total offensive possessions, 5 turnovers, and 1 missed shot at the rim.
Yeah, in the last, like, what? Wasn't that like 90 seconds?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was it might have been just over that.
But we were down 7 with 2:21 left. Who cares? Like, no one on this team cares about that. I mean, Kawhi got a finger on Kemba's game winner to force the miss.
Yeah.
He wasn't fazed by the fact that he didn't hit the game winner to end regulation, which doesn't matter.
No.
I don't know.
It's been the mantra, I feel like, well, I feel like even dating back to last year, but we've heard Kawhi and Doc speaking a lot more about like being able to get those defensive wins.
This was a defensive win.
And it's the thing that, like, you know, even, you know, because Kawhi and Paul George both struggled shooting three.
Yeah, whole team did.
Yeah, Kawhi was just...
As per huge.
Kawhi was just 3 of 10 from beyond the arc. Paul George was a little bit better at 4 of 11.
Hey.
But it's one of those things that I feel like you have a little less control over, you know?
For sure, yeah.
But just being able to make those huge defensive impacts, I was shocked just how quickly they were kind of able to put it together on that end of the floor.
Yeah, they were flat, and like not all the way, obviously, because they just started for sure. But yeah. Like, I mean, someone sent us, I think I maybe retweeted on the Locked On Clips Twitter, Tim Legler did a great breakdown of what makes this defense so good. It's length. Mo Harkless was great. He was on Kemba a few times, and he bothered him. The ability to rotate is everyone's individual footwork and everything is just so good. I don't know. I don't understand how teams are going to put together things like, you know, a long run against this Clippers team. I think a long scoring run against this Clippers team is going to be like 7 points.
You don't think we'll see any huge runs?
Against the starting lineup.
Against the starting lineup. Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't see a lot of others. I mean, I'm pretty high on this win.
Yeah.
But
the biggest
it's going to be hard as hell.
The biggest thing, yeah, would just definitely be... if we're having a especially bad turnover night or something, I could see things swinging pretty quickly.
Which we'll talk a little bit about in the next segment. But Marcus Smart, someone who I said was going to possibly hurt us from three because all stats pointed in that direction coming before this game.
Mm-hmm.
We like that he shot 1 of 11 from three. Keep on shooting. It was crazy. After the sixth, I was like, he has to stop, right?
Can't.
Like, he has to stop.
Shoot or shoot.
That was great. Kawhi killed Daniel Theis.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic.
Dunk of the year up to this point.
Yeah, he gets fouled too.
He gets fouled. Kawhi had 18 in the fourth, which, I mean, he's just fourth quarter Kawhi now.
Yeah.
Blocked Kemba's game-winning shot. Brad Stevens had a great quote on Kemba's shot attempt. Kemba lost a normal person on that cut. He got enough separation to get it off against most of the league. The problem is, that guy's not normal. Kawhi is not most of the league, and he made a great play to block it. Hey, thanks, Brad.
Real recognize real.
You're damn right. You liked JaMychal.
Yeah, so JaMychal was able to find his groove shooting again. He only missed one field goal the entire night, ended up 4 for 5, including only 2 of 2 from three, but still a much more solid performance that he's had
in a while. That's that JaMychal game where he's, you know, he's only one shot away from shooting 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Almost had a double-double. He added 8 boards to his 10 points.
Love it. The most efficient 10 and 8 you can get in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, in only 17 minutes. I mean, like, that's... It's not a perfect JaMychal game, but that's a pretty damn good JaMychal Green game.
He did what... I mean, no one... Someone is perpetually stepping up on this team.
Yeah.
Which is great. At minimum, there's one person stepping up. Lou read everyone's mean tweets and was
y'all,
like, hey.
Y'all were losing it there.
People were really mad. Lou was not
you
playing.
You were losing it.
Well, to be fair, Lou was not playing very well for, but nobody was.
I don't care, man. There's legacy. There's reputation there.
Lou read all your tweets and said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put up a cool 27. 3 of 9 from 3, not the best. 10 of 21 shooting, 46. I don't know. This was vintage. Everyone played so damn good.
Yeah.
Lou had 7 turnovers. That's not good. 2 steals. DPOY. the last 6 minutes of this game, if you can find a way to rewatch just the last 6 minutes. Do it. It's the most electrifying basketball you're going to see. I mean, for in terms of both teams competing, this was a fantastic game of basketball. Remember what I said
turnaround.
About how if you had someone who had never seen basketball and you showed them the game against the Blazers, they'd be like, why are all these people here watching this stupid sport? You showed them this game.
Yeah.
They're hooked for life.
The end.
The end of this game. The final 6 minutes.
The first three quarters might be a bit of a deep cut. But anyways, with all that positivity, should we get into some things that we didn't like?
Let's get into what we didn't like after this break. Maybe let people vibe a little bit.
There you go.
We got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. You can use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes to win money.
Yeah, smart.
Which is tight.
If you use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, that's all caps, LOCKEDONNBA, MyBookie will match your order.
Half of your first deposit,
yeah,
to be exact. If you're listening on the go and you can't visit MyBookie right now, check out LOCKEDONPODCAST.com for more offers. Maybe you'll gamble some money. Maybe you'll win some money. Who knows? Have a good time. Okay, so opening up the second segment. What we didn't like.
So
there was a lot that a lot of people on Twitter didn't like, but
I guess the thing that was the most troublesome, not even troublesome, the most irritating in this one game to watch to me was the lack of any sort of communication on transition offense.
The transition offense tonight was, and I can't stress this enough, horrendous. Doc laughed when someone asked him about it in the presser. He just kind of chuckled.
I laughed when someone asked the question and I didn't feel embarrassed. Like, I was two rows away from Doc and I did not feel embarrassed.
Mo had at least two turnovers.
So this is weird. I was looking at the box score.
Specifically in transition.
Yeah, I was looking at the box score and they only have him listed as, I believe, having a single turnover.
I don't believe
Which I
saw him have three.
I was going to say, I don't know how that's possible.
Is stats like I'm gaslighting us?
I do not know what's going on there, but he was involved in at least what felt like three of the turnovers in that terrible stretch to end the first half that we talked about at the beginning.
He was a party to a few turnovers.
He was, yeah.
He was turnover by association. that was rough. The turnovers in general, I mean, the first half we had, 15?
Yeah.
13?
Yeah, so we finished about 35% higher in turnovers than our already very high 17 a game, which is, I believe, 28th in the league.
Yes, it is right near that bottom. So we're probably 29th now.
Yeah, 23 tonight in total, which is...
It's not moving us up on the list.
You know, a quarter of a game of basketball.
Yeah. I don't want to think about that at all. Jason Tatum had a great game. I want to give a shout out. Here's the Celtics who were really fun to watch tonight. Jason Tatum did his thing. He made the game tying three. However, he totally stepped on Paul George's foot. It was not a legit crossover.
It was not.
I hope a Celtics fan listens to this and tries to come at me with some facts, and I'll just show them the video.
We restrained ourselves, I feel like, very well. We were in an elevator with some fans, some Celtics fans. They were talking about and some Lakers fans, and they were talking about how crazy
the crossover was. Just a classic night
at
a Clippers game at Staples where you're taking the elevator with Celtics and Lakers fans who are somehow agreeing about how the Clippers suck. No, Tatum had 30 points. He played fantastic. Daniel Tace, 8-14. Marcus Smart, other than 3-point shooting, played some good basketball. Brad Wanamaker.
He played impactful basketball.
Yeah. Brad Wanamaker also, great game. 14 points. But the first half defense was also a little rough.
Yeah.
They killed us in the paint.
There was that stretch. Yeah, there was that stretch where Kanter came in, and he only ended up finishing with 12 minutes, which I'm not really sure what was going on there.
He murked Trez.
He was 4-for-6. He was getting anything that he wanted around the rim.
And
Trez looked frustrated.
I will also say Trez looked tired.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
And I'm not saying that as a knock. The guy has been playing more minutes, obviously, than he ever has in his career. He looked a little tired tonight.
Yeah, he finished with 31 and a half minutes, which is lower than
that's too many.
I don't think that's true. I think
Enes Kanter was killing him, and if they would have hit a three, if they would have hit threes when Enes Kanter was in there,
mm-hmm.
this game is way different.
Yeah.
one of 18 in the first half. That was, there was a, I tweeted it out. We were losing points in the paint. We were losing rebounds and Trez wasn't hitting shots.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of like, okay, I don't know what else needs to happen for Zubats to be subbed in.
Yeah.
That's one thing I kind of didn't like. Zubats played great on Kemba. He, didn't have the best game offensively. One of three for 5 points, had a bunch of free throws early, had 7 boards. It was just like, because Trez looked a little gat. I feel like they could have played Zoo a little bit more.
Yeah, so I guess my one counterpoint to that would be sometimes, like, especially, you know, Lou didn't have a great start to the game either.
Yeah.
Is there not some value in playing those guys through tough stretches so you can find that rhythm? Like, you can get whatever it is that you need to, like, get right. So you can step up later in those, like, in those big moments, in those big minutes. But they, agreed that the minutes level has been high. And while I don't think, like, 31 minutes, is anything even, for me, not even approaching egregious, given, you know, what it has been leading up to this.
Zoo did break 20 minutes. He did get 21. But I mean, so the thing about the offense with Trez is it sucked because it didn't really seem like they were trying to get him going. So, like,
offensively.
He only had 8 shot attempts, which is pretty low for Trez, especially in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But to your point, I do agree with the fact that maybe getting him through it. Like, with Lou, I'm like, yeah, for sure, leave him out there. I don't care. Lou can play with anybody. But yeah, there was
What about the points he's given up on the other end?
Okay. Yes. That is actually, that's a legitimate argument.
I was making a mock argument.
I know, but it's still a legitimate argument sometimes. Yeah. Lou also gets, when the whole team is playing bad defensively, Lou gets singled out.
Yes.
And he
acknowledged that, actually. Yeah,
and Doc talked about this too. He was like, Lou looks around the room and he sees Paul George, Kawhi, Bev, Magruder. He's like, he knows who they're going at.
Yeah.
They're going at him. He knows that he's the weak link in this situation.
Yeah.
But the effort was there.
The effort, like, was there. And, like, I don't know.
He hit clutch shots down the stretch.
It was. And also, though, we know it too. You know what I mean? It's not like we can't game plan defensively around some of that to mitigate some of that, which I feel like they did a pretty good job of tonight.
Anything else that you didn't like before we get into maybe an extended how we're feeling? Because the game went to overtime. So do we.
I guess this one, it's not like a strong dislike. It's just more of a,
it's an onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
Which I will say, that's one of my favorite things we've come up with on this show. How do you feel about it? It's an onomatopoeia.
So, Mann and Robinson each played about a minute.
Yeah, that was really interesting. It was like a quick, I wonder if Doc maybe missed us. I think, I don't know. It was literally, I mean, Jerome, buck 10 in terms of minutes. Terrence Mann, 54 seconds. Do you think Doc just, like, had a second? I don't know. It was really weird.
It seemed like, so it was interesting because when Mann came in, George was still in the game and it was late in the first quarter. He had probably already exceeded whatever minutes restriction he was on for that quarter.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were putting Mann in and they were going to run out what had been the starters. I believe that was, like, about what the lineup was. With, you know, that we had seen the with Paul George previously. And then Paul was just kind of yanked, and then Terrence Mann was yanked after a possession, 2 possessions.
There were, so both of Jerome and Mann had, Mann kind of blew a defensive assignment on that one possession. And I think Jerome had a foul on his possession. And then they were just immediately subbed out. So I think this was Doc being like, okay, that's how, I mean, if you guys are going to play like that.
And then another one I'm onomatopoeing is going to be Rodney Magruder. Where was our
This was not good for my, I like Rodney Magruder on this team.
Where was our man Magruder tonight?
He's having an off night. 0-for-4 is very off.
I wouldn't even say that it was, like, egregiously bad. He did finish minus 10 in the box score.
He had 3 fouls. No turnovers.
Part of that was, like, during some of those just kind of bad stretches. I
agree, though. I was bummed because he had some open looks.
Had some open
and
looks.
And he was clearly on the Celtics list of people who it's like, okay, go ahead and shoot.
Yeah, yeah. If he could, I mean, honestly.
4 3-point attempts for him. That was by design for the Celtics.
Yeah, if he hit even one of those, I think it's a little. Yeah, you know what funny. I mean? Like, yeah. it's a little bit different. I'm not even asking him to knock down 50%. No. If he hits one,
yeah.
I'm like, it's a little bit less bad. And then just defensively, it wasn't really there either. It makes sense from a lineup perspective. We talked about this a little bit, but they're a long team that's like mostly wings.
Yeah.
And that I like Magruder's effort. I just think that because of his size, he can really only guard guards.
Yeah. Want to give a quick note to the, I want to give a throwback to the first segment, something that I liked.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens getting a technical and possibly costing the Celtics this game.
That was wild.
In overtime, in a very winnable game, it's overtime.
Yeah.
He says something to the ref.
Oh yeah.
He didn't raise his hands. There were like I did. I mean, we don't know what he said.
No.
I tweeted what I thought he maybe said.
You have a theory.
I have a theory. That's what he said. But I think it was a domino technical.
I think that was emblematic of the team falling apart.
No. I think it was the ref. Wow. I think he's
the Celtics are over.
I think he was chirping at the ref all game about something. And the ref was like, "You keep doing this shit. I'm teeing you up, you idiot."
Gotcha.
And he was like, "I'm Brad Stevens." And then the ref teed him up.
That's not even his voice.
That's how he sounds. Would you ever have guessed Brad Stevens would lose his cool and get a technical late in the fourth to possibly cost the Celtics a game?
If you would have said...
He's bottom of the list for me.
If you would have showed me the first three quarters of this game and then said, one coach is going to get a technical in the final minutes and possibly blow the game for that team, I would have been like,
wow, sucks Doc. God damn. Okay, so how are we feeling?
So it's weird. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to preface it with that.
I'm jacked up.
I'm feeling pretty good. It's a polar opposite, actually, if we had lost this one for me. Like, if we had lost this one in overtime, I wouldn't be like, oh, you know, we showed a lot of resolve. We'd be
recording this
win.
In the wreckage of your apartment.
Yeah, yeah. And that's no discredit to the Celtics, but, like, they were undermanned.
They shot horribly.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we were able to get the win. You know, that's what the great teams can do.
Yeah.
You can still come out with a win. But yeah, had we not gotten it, I'd be feeling, it'd be a completely different pod.
I feel great. The offense is obviously a little kind of, so what are we running?
Oh, it's very clunky, but that's to be expected. They've had one practice, maybe two practices now.
It's the first with everyone game with on the floor. Kawhi and Paul George. It's going to be all right. I also think they're going to change up. I mentioned this in the offseason. I think we're going to see a new thing of what a point guard is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Game to game. It's going to be weird to watch like it is right now early, but it's early. The defense looked a little bit better than I thought it was going to with the true starters out there. Mm-hmm. I love the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Bev, Kawhi, PG, Mo, Zoo. Never want that to change. I loved it. The defense is just too, I mean, the defense is going to be too good. We can get into it at some point, but defense is going to be
this
too
is
good.
How you're feeling, man.
This is how I'm feeling. Hey, let me feel my feel. I'm feeling good. I hope some people who are freaking out a bit on Twitter calm down a tiny bit. Coming up after this, we have Thirsty Thursday / Shavings. Hey, welcome to Thirsty Thursday.
Go.
Want to give a shout out to Audible, world's largest selection of audiobooks.
And audio entertainment.
Audiotainment, as the kids say. You can start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook or two Audible originals, which are also audiobooks, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Hope they're not Audible puppet shows. Not a very fun time there. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. All right, welcome. Yeah, Thirsty Thursday.
Hey, we're here.
I'm thirsty for Bev to shoot a little bit more.
Whew!
He was passing up some shots. He was passing up some shots in the game against the Celtics. Doc kind of commented on it.
That was a spicier thirst than I thought you were going to kick
dude,
this thing off.
Dude,
it's like when you eat something hot and you think you're drinking water and it's just vodka.
Yeah, I want him to just have the fed a little bit more. People are down on his offensive abilities, which I'm not going to pretend like he's a, you know, mercurial scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But the shot is there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him.
That's interesting because we talked about this a little bit after a moment in the game. I'm actually thirsty for Pat Bev to just be driving more with authority.
Yeah, he was putting his head down tonight. I think playing against Marcus Smart psyched him up.
Yeah.
I think he was really... That's a cool matchup. We're not going to see it a lot, obviously, but it's cool to see two guys.
Might have to
like,
see it four times.
Yeah. Only four times. It's going to be cool. It's just cool to see two guys like that go at each other.
Yeah.
Because there's like a, you know, I don't know. Feels like they kind of respect each other's game, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense that that would psych him up, but just in general, when, I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what it is, but when he gets a head full of steam and he gets the mindset that he's going to aggressively drive, it just adds an extra level of danger to this offense.
It's something, it's another thing that a guy can do above average.
Yeah.
And he usually, when he drives, he usually makes the right decision is between put it up or pass it off. Cause usually if the floater,
but just do it more.
Yeah. And usually if the floater's not there, he's like, all right, I'm going to pass this up or whatever.
Yeah. And he practices like, he practices like in the lane floaters. That's like one of the things he does
he
at every
takes, like,
warm up.
50.
So it's one of those things that it should never be the thing, you know, yeah, that we need to do, but it is a thing that I think adds a nice kind of little wrinkle to his play.
I'm still thirsty for more Zubats.
Okay.
If the bench isn't scoring, Trez, it's just hard. Trez, the defense, the rim protection falls off so hard. And not because Trez is that bad. It's just also Zoo is playing phenomenally around the rim right now on the defensive side. And it's weird, but maybe, you know, maybe bring Lou in for a couple minutes before Trez or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe run that a tiny bit. And if that's working, you're like, okay, Zoo's keeping up physically.
You're saying just... I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, Zeus keeping up physically. All right, this is cool. Let's run this a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Because then you got, you know, you save Trez for the fourth a little bit.
At what point do you start to think that it's maybe more conditioning dependent than performance dependent?
Dude, like 2 days ago. I felt bad because I was like, he is in great, he's in such better shape than he was last year.
Yeah.
But... yeah, there's still a level of...
Do
you think it's game shape? Do you think it's just getting back to true games?
Oh, I mean, for sure.
Because Trez looks great. Like, physically, like Trez looks fine. Lou, we've talked about it.
I mean, but those guys, like, they play so much 5-on-5.
I mean, Trez was playing in the... Like, he plays... Trez probably plays, like, 400 games of basketball a year.
And, like, I'm sure that Zoo gets runs in and stuff, too. It's just... there's definitely different physical limits on what your body can handle when you're that much taller.
I'll tell you one thing that you just I got some thirst for. Zoo in the Drew League in the offseason.
Okay, so we talked about this. I didn't want anyone to play any sort of international basketball. I didn't want anybody doing anything. Any new workouts. I wanted everybody to camp out or rotating camp out at Lou Will's place. Everybody's just getting some run in.
Yeah, you're playing in the Drew League.
You're playing basketball.
You're
hanging
up to
out.
Spokane, Washington for Hoop Fest, which is a lot of things that a lot of, I guess, like older weird basketball science teachers I have play 3-on-3 in. I'm thirsty for more continuity. I'm really excited that it's going to be here soon.
Definitely.
I don't mean like in a bad way. Like it's just this one. I think it feels weird to have to reiterate this so much.
Mm-hmm.
First game with Kawhi and Paul George. There's obviously room that we need to work on.
Yeah.
With the offense. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. I'm thirsty for people to not dump on Lou Williams if he's having a cold start.
I'm going opposite.
Oh, wow.
Keep the hate coming because Lou loves it.
You know what?
Reversing course.
I'm nagging my thirst.
You're doing triple negatives. You're doing double negatives. Anything else you want to talk about thirsty? Where we'd have like one shavings thing we could talk about, which I think is kind of fun.
All right, then let's jump into the one shavings.
Okay, so the NCAA is suspending James Wiseman for 12 games, which is BS.
Mm-hmm.
Why they got to attack Penny Hardaway like that? Let the guy live. Making the Memphis awesome. They're also making him donate $11,500 to the charity of his choice. F you, NCAA, first off. Do older white dudes, which is just what I'm assuming runs the NCAA.
Has to be.
Is their whole plan to be like, all right, heads? They go heads.
It's T-Boone's pick. It's T-Boone Pickens, like five models of him.
Yeah, they're like, all right, so heads, you make the right decision. Tails, you make the wrong decision. And then they flip the coin, and it's heads. And they go, wow, crazy, it's opposite day. And then they all laugh. If the NCAA was the person, who would they be? This could be someone you've known in your past. This could be just, you know, like that guy kind of thing. This could be a specific, you know, this could be anything.
The NCAA is the guy who's always trying to fight somebody on the bus, but simultaneously never squaring up.
I like that. Yeah, he's the guy who's yelling.
He's like yelling like through the entire commute, and like every time somebody's getting on the bus, they're trying to start. He's like trying to start something.
But it's always someone smaller.
When someone wants to hop off at the stop, like, yeah, let's hop off at the stop. Like, you can catch this.
No,
he's just gonna like. Yeah.
All right, that's a good one. Yeah, to me, the NCAA is like the manager of a restaurant in a small town. And he knows that what he's doing and everything, like, with his life, and the restaurant's not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of slipping away, but he's the guy who's like, if you can lean, you can clean.
Yeah.
I'll write you up. That's okay. A disadulation.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, no one's here. Like, let's chill, man.
Yeah.
And he's just a dick.
You know what? That's good. I like that too.
The NCAA, and I do feel bad about this because I do know some good people named Kyle and named Karen. The NCAA is a Kyle and a Karen.
Yeah.
But you never want to be both of those. Shout out to anyone named Kyle or Karen. You guys are great people. I'm sure you're not like what the internet has turned your great names into. Any other
I'm not giving any generalized name slander on this podcast. That's absurd.
I hope that doesn't come back to haunt
me. Ratio this man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thanks for hanging out for this. It was a fantastic night.
It was a really
great win.
It was a really solid win.
I feel good about it. Friday's episode, we're going to have a preview of the Rockets versus Clippers.
Looking forward to that one.
Is Kawhi going to play?
Yes.
Hope so. We're going to have a little preview of the Pels game on Sunday. Not as big of a preview because, you know, it's just little because it's one after.
It's a baby preview.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to have some Pac-Div talk. And then we're going to think of such a good Love, Marry, Kill before we record
it's
tomorrow.
Gonna, it's going to blow
your
mind.
It's going to be awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out. Please check us out on iTunes, at Locked On Clippers. You can find us on Twitter, at Locked On Clips. Will is on Twitter, at Will Updike. I am at Charles Mockler. I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. Thanks for hanging out.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.